Morning, everyone. Well, we've arrived at the high holy day of American culture, Super Bowl Sunday. And I wondered early this week, what does a preacher preach on Super Bowl Sunday? Because, as you all know, I'm not a trained preacher. So I was watching some of the sports shows, and they were talking about who's going to win the game. And they tried to make a big controversy, because that's what they try to do. This, the last couple of weeks is all hype. So who's going to win the big game? And of course, out here, most people are rooting for the Seahawks, and as you get farther east, they might root for the Patriots. So that gave me an idea that I thought I'd talk about what I call the Super Bowl of Bible controversy. Now you may wonder, what's controversial about the Bible? Nothing. But some people try to make it controversial. I've preached before more than once on faith and how it relates to salvation. And as we all know, I hope, salvation is by faith and faith alone. We don't have to do anything to get saved. Jesus did it all on the cross. Paul made that abundantly clear in Romans and also in Ephesians and other places. But there is a problem section of the New Testament that I want to look at today. It's not really a problem, but some people have chosen to make it a problem. And that's the book of James, chapter 2, and we're going to be reading verses 14 through 24. This is not a very hard to understand section. It's the way James says things that has caused all the controversy. Martin Luther, the famous German theologian who was responsible for starting the Reformation, without which we all might be Roman Catholics, Martin Luther couldn't stand James. He called it a letter or epistle of straw that should be burned up. Martin Luther had a problem with James that many other Christians have had, because James talks about faith, and in the same sentence he talks about works. And he doesn't do it once. He does it three or four times. And so this has caused a controversy. So let's look at verses 14 through 24. And as I read this, think about, what do you do in your own personal life when you're reading the New Testament and you come across a verse or a series of verses that seem to say something that contradicts what you know is the truth? How do you handle that? Do you get mad? Do you shut your Bible up? Do you call your Sunday school teacher or preacher up? What do you do? Well, here's James chapter 2, verses 14 through 24. What good is it, my brothers and sisters, if someone claims to have faith but has no deeds? Deeds are works. Can such faith save them? Suppose a brother or sister is without clothes and daily food. If one of you says to them, go in peace, keep warm and well fed, but does nothing about their physical needs, what good is that? In the same way, faith by itself, if it is not accompanied by action, is dead. But someone will say, you have faith, I have deeds. Show me your faith without deeds, I will show you my faith by my deeds. You believe there is one God? Good, even the demons believe that and shudder. You foolish person, do you want evidence that faith without deeds is useless? Was not our father Abraham considered righteous for what he did when he sacrificed his son Isaac on the altar? You see that his faith and his actions were working together, and his faith was made complete by what he did. And the scripture was fulfilled that says, Abraham believed God and it was credited to him as righteousness. And he was called God's friend. You see that a person is considered righteous by what they do and not by faith alone. Martin Luther went berserk when he read that section. So have a lot of other Christians. Because it seems that on more than one occasion, James is equating salvation, which is called justification in some Bibles, is not just by faith alone, but that somehow works are mixed in, which directly violates what Paul taught in Romans, Ephesians, and other places. So what do we do with this scripture? Well, first of all, we recognize the quote-unquote problems. There are some problem verses, specifically verse 17, 20, 22, and 24. So we're not talking one time, we're talking four times. James seemed to equate faith and works somehow. So how do we deal with this? Well, the first thing James says is in verse 17, and I'm reading from the NIV, faith by itself, if not accompanied by action, is dead. In the translation that was on the board, we have to understand that faith alone saves. But James says, if it's not accompanied by action or works, the faith is dead. There's all kinds of faith. You can have faith in a lot of things. You might have faith in a sports team. The question that James is asking is, can the kind of faith that doesn't have works save you? And James will argue that it can't, because of a very simple situation that James tries to explain, but does it in a way that sometimes makes it difficult for some people to understand. He says that Satan has faith in Jesus. He knows Jesus. He knows God exists. He knows Jesus exists. He believes in Jesus. He knows there's only one God. All the demons believe that. That doesn't mean they've placed their faith in Jesus, but they know facts about Jesus and they're facts about God. Another thing James says, and this is in verse 20, faith without deeds is useless. Now, to Luther, that seemed to indicate, well, faith alone doesn't save then. He thought James was saying you have to have works along with faith to be saved. And that faith alone wasn't enough, because he said it right there, faith without deeds is useless. And then he goes to the example of Abraham, way back at the very beginning of the Old Testament. Abraham is known as the father of faith. And in verse 22, James says, speaking of Abraham, you see that his faith and his actions were working together, and his faith was made complete by what he did. So now, according to Luther and some others, James is arguing that faith plus works is good enough to get saved, but not just faith alone. And then lastly, in verse 24, he makes the statement, you see that a person is justified, that means saved, justified by what he does and not by faith alone. Well, that was the last straw for Luther. Justified by what he does, Luther couldn't handle that. Now, I would like to give you a suggestion as to how to deal with difficult verses in the New Testament. And I'm sorry to have to tell you, there are a few of them. It isn't just this section. There's a couple others. What do you do when a verse or series of verses seem to say, and notice I say seem to say, something that directly contradicts what you know is biblical truth? Well, the first thing you do is you reread the section and try to ask yourself, is there something else James could be saying other than works have something to do with salvation? Who's James talking to? What's he trying to say combining faith and works? And he doesn't do it once, he does it four times. Well, I would like to suggest that there's no real disagreement between the Apostle Paul and James. Although I must admit, when I first read this years ago, I wondered if maybe up in heaven there's a coffee shop and Paul and James were sitting at a table arguing with one another. I must admit that crossed my mind. So when we get to heaven, if we see two guys at a coffee shop in heaven, if there is such a place, the coffee shop, not heaven, you see two guys arguing, well, maybe it's Paul and James. Or Luther and James. I would suggest there's no real disagreement between Paul and James. The difference is the direction that they were approaching the subject of justification. In the books of Romans and Ephesians, Paul was talking about salvation from the standpoint of the lost person, how do they get saved? And the answer to that question is, the lost person is saved, the unbeliever is saved, by faith in Jesus alone, not of works. Jesus did all the work for salvation on the cross. All you have to do is believe in Jesus to be saved. But James, he approaches the subject from the opposite direction. James, who was the Lord's half-brother and who was pastor of a church in Jerusalem, the what I call First Baptist Church of Jerusalem, but it was a first Christian church, James was talking to believers. He wasn't talking about how to get saved. He was talking about when you place your faith in Jesus, what happens? And what happens is, in time, you produce works that show your faith. One person has described it that Paul describes salvation from God's standpoint. Faith alone is what saves you through God's grace. James is talking from man's standpoint. You show your salvation to other men on earth by doing things for Jesus. You show your faith. So there really isn't any difference, I don't believe, between Paul and James. Luther jumped to a conclusion. And it's an understandable jump to conclusion, but he jumped to a conclusion because he was a devotee of the Apostle Paul. He studied Paul, he taught Paul, he loved Paul, and when he saw James, he flipped. But James didn't disagree with Paul. What James is saying is, when you get saved, your faith alone is what saves you through the grace of God. But then, after you're saved, you show your faith to other people by what you do. And we all do different things for Jesus. We all don't get up here and preach or teach Sunday school. You may do other things in or out of church, but you show your faith by your works. That's what James was arguing. Not that you got saved by your works, but you showed your faith by your works. So the main lesson today is don't let difficult verses in the Bible confuse you. Understand, no matter what the unbelieving world tries to tell us, there are no contradictions in the Bible. There are some difficult passages, but there's no contradictions. God says the same thing everywhere in the Bible. The only thing is, there are different applications and different ways certain writers have approached the same subject. Now, this particular subject, where James is talking about faith and works, is probably the most controversial or difficult section of the New Testament. And I bring it up because when you do find a difficult verse or difficult section, you have to do some thinking and you have to do some studying. You have to ask yourself, how is that writer approaching the subject he's talking about? Because there are no biblical contradictions. Don't go into it thinking there's a maybe a contradiction. There are no maybe contradictions. The Bible doesn't contradict itself in any subject. Because if it did, then it would make God to be a liar. And if God's a liar, then we all go home. So I hope this will help you as you study your Bible, especially your New Testament. When you run into a verse here or there that seems to say something that isn't right, and there are a few of them here and there, don't jump to a conclusion that somebody made a mistake. There's no mistakes. There's no contradictions. You just have to, don't get confused, don't let yourself be confused, and just ask yourself, how is this writer saying the same thing as the other writer, even though it's said differently? And if you do that, your Bible will make a whole lot more sense to you. And understand, some of the greatest theologians of all time have struggled with some scripture. So if you struggle with scripture, don't be discouraged. Some of the greatest minds in the Christian church have struggled with a few verses here and there. But just remember that you know what the truth is. Remember the truth, and then see how each verse fits into that truth that you already know exists. And I'll close by saying that I hope you all have a nice Super Bowl Sunday. And I think the Seahawks will win 27-24. Okay? Thank you.